Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
You know, politicians want to force you to cover your face as a way for them to cover their own asses.
Mark Reardon.
Does the president not know what's going on?
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
All right, we are rolling here for a Wednesday edition of the show, and there are a lot of moving pieces, ladies and gentlemen. We think the FBI has probably discovered the body of Brian Laundrie. There's going to be a briefing at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take you to that.
Wow.
That's my anticipation. It's been developing all day. It seems pretty obvious that they found his body, and he's not alive. We have Congresswoman Wagner in just a couple of minutes. I've moved her up just a little bit. We're trying to get her on the line because of that news conference. And then Luther Burden Jr. chose Mizzou last night, and Demetrius Johnson, who was on the roundtable the other day, in a contentious roundtable, he told us, Sue, were you in here? No, you were
no,
off.
No, I wasn't right here.
So before the roundtable started on Friday, Demetrius said Tuesday, Luther, he's going to commit, So he was very confident, and I knew that, and by the way, DJ was the guy who introduced him last night, so
wow.
He's very close
so
with the family.
So he knew.
But you always worry, because this is a kid who's a one of the best wide receivers in the country. I think he's rated 6th overall for all college players, not just wide receivers.
Seriously?
Number one wide
oh,
receiver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he had opportunity to go to Alabama. He had committed to Oklahoma. He decommitted and then picked Mizzou. And, you know, Frank Cusimano's been telling us he's got a ton of sisters.
I was just going to ask you.
But he had the last visit down in Georgia, and they sent stretch limos, and they did everything, but he picked Mizzou. So we'll have a little bit more on that.
Sisters win!
You passed a crazy accident here, didn't you?
Yeah, I was almost late. I was driving up 55, and there was this huge slowdown. This was just north of Loughborough. I couldn't figure it out, and when I came on it, it was an accident in the center lane, and the trunk of this car had almost disappeared. I mean, somebody had hit it really hard, and you could see the contents of the truck, or trunk, just a small car. But in front of that was a guy in a minivan in just regular clothes trying to direct traffic. Now, this is in the center lane.
Well, that's dangerous.
He's positioned immediately behind, like maybe 15 yards behind the car that was rear-ended, and I guess maybe he decided to be officer-friendly, but that doesn't seem like a very safe thing to
do. No, and you couldn't tell on your way by whether, A, he knew what he was doing, or whether he was the person who hit it. It didn't look like his car had, and of course we're all going really fast by. Well, not that fast, because we're slowing down.
Right, right.
But, I mean, it's not like you have time to stop and observe. And there was a car on the shoulder, and no police on the scene yet. So I called 911, and I was on hold for a little bit, but then I did get through.
You know, I've had a flat tire on the interstate before, the highway. I've never had an accident. But I see people all the time on the side of the road when they have a fender bender, nothing like this where it stops traffic in the middle. Or maybe it didn't, then they pull over. Then we're zipping by them at 60 miles an hour. Get off the flipping highway. I mean, you can't tell me that is a safe situation. I would cross over to the grass or get away from the highway, because you never know.
If you can.
Especially
well,
in the center.
That's true, too.
The center lane makes me especially nervous. I don't like it when people are walking around on the highway.
No.
Anyway,
like
they're going to send police down there, but wow, take care.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, well, we'll get you an update on all the traffic situation from Sue throughout the afternoon. I was listening yesterday, watching Fox, and this sort of resonated with me, so we invited Chris Wicken, who is the GM at a place called The Packing House in Miles Stomping Grounds in Milwaukee. I don't know that restaurant, but you know what's really big around here, of course, with Lenten season is fish fries,
oh,
right?
Oh, big time.
Well, in Wisconsin, that's like a year-round deal. Fish fries are a big, big deal. Part of the supply chain issue is cod. They're really worried about some of the fish and cod in particular, so there's a bit of a crisis. But I thought that was an interesting angle. We'll get Chris on in the next hour. I finally watched, Dave, you've seen it. Sue, I don't think you watched it. I watched Chappelle last night, The Closer.
I'm the first one
you need
who
to watch
watched it.
Oh, you're the first one who watched
then
it.
Then I told, yes, so okay. I've already seen it.
Why did I have it in my mind that Sue has not seen it? I don't know. Anyway, it was great.
I know.
Here's what I said on Twitter. Did you see my tweet? I said, I laughed.
Not.
I cried. And I did. I did both of those. Yeah. I laughed my ass off, and I got emotional during this thing. And let me, we're not going to spoil anything for people who haven't seen it, but there is a huge, huge impactful moment that comes toward the end of the closer that I didn't see coming. Thankfully, none of the media coverage about the closer has included that, because I think it is something that people should not know going in. But it was fascinating to me to watch Dave Chappelle really kind of work his magic, and
he's so smart.
He does such a great job of telling this story and kind of winding the narrative back to the point that he wants to make. So I was, you know, what it was to me, and this is what my tweet said, it was an immensely impactful and entertaining comedy special. And, and sure, there were many serious parts to it, but I really, really enjoyed it. So Dave, we'll talk, and Amy Marksgors is going to come over from KMOX because I know she has some thoughts about that. We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll also talk about some of this nonsense that's in the $3.5 trillion tax and spend plan from the Democrats, which is now getting stripped down quite a bit. But we'll talk about some of that right now with Missouri Congressman Ann Wagner, who joins us. We moved it up just a little bit because we think the FBI is going to have this news conference at the bottom of the hour. She's with us from Washington. I'm told she's stepped out of the floor, and she's in the cloakroom. Ann, how are you this afternoon?
I'm fine. I'm glad to be with you and your listeners, Mark. I am in the cloakroom, huddled in a corner here in between votes. You know, we're really here not voting on anything of substance. They debated 10 post office bills this afternoon. The Dems are just all fighting amongst themselves, and we're just, you know, trying to punch back and make sure that we inform the American people of what all is going on in our country that is just near crisis level.
I think we need to take Nancy Pelosi's advice, and I'm going to do this a little bit, and this afternoon in a couple hours with David Ditch from Heritage, because she tells us that the media is not doing a good enough job explaining to the American people what is in this reconciliation bill, which is seemingly, thankfully, failing right now. But I think it is up to me and David from Heritage and you, because we know the New York Times and CNN and the Washington Post won't do it, and the St. Louis Post especially, to explain some of the complete nonsense that's in this legislation.
Yep, absolutely. We've got to be the truth squad. And, you know, I'm telling you, we're looking on the horizon of some $5 trillion in a socialist takeover of America. And I don't care what they try, how many trillions they try and turn us back to, and gymnastics they go through to cut programs and full cradle to grave government dependency, whether it's for 10 years or 5 years, once they institute it, it will be very tough to roll it back.
So there's $8 billion to create an army of federally funded climate police called the Civilian Climate Corps, the CCC. That's ridiculous. There's $643 million for the procurement of culturally appropriate foods for school lunches. And that, you know, this goes on and on and on. And by the way, Jen Psaki told us again today, you know what? This is free. No one's going to have to pay for this. This is not going to add to the debt at all.
Let me tell you what. They're weaponizing the IRS to spy on Americans and your bank account.
Yes.
I'm telling you what, that is one of the most egregious things. And I don't care what number they do. $600, $10,000, and that's both inflows and outflows. I mean, this is socialist. This is militaristic. I mean, there is one piece, you ready for this, that's a part of now the infrastructure bill, which is all one great big cabal in the House. They're in tandem. Where they're going to track, do a test, put a chip in your car to track where you drive and for how long, because they're trying to decide whether they want to institute not gas taxes, but usage fees. This thing, you'll probably like this, journalists don't have to pay any payroll taxes for 5 years. Do you believe that?
Wait. What? Okay, I support this thing now. I'm going to declare myself not a talk show host, but I'm going back to describing myself as a journalist. And, that sounds like a good deal.
No payroll taxes for 5 years. A fine for violating the vaccine mandate. They're going ready for this. So it's all going to be instituted right now. And the fines in this package will go from $70,000 to $700,000 per violation. Things like the Civilian Climate Corps, they've got, for illegal immigrants coming in, free stuff abounds, an amnesty for millions, maybe 8 to 10 million. It is cradle to grave government dependency. It will crush the American dream on top of you know, supply shortages, rising inflation, your money being worth less and less, and higher taxes on everybody. I mean, the middle class. This is what socialism looks like, Mark. This is a socialist takeover of America, and we have got to be the truth squad on this. We really do.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor just in case this will help, because you're in the cloakroom there outside of the... See if you can put your phone on speaker. See if that helps, because it's a little muffled. And sometimes every once in a while, that does help. It turns things around.
Can you help? Does that help a little bit?
I think it does. I think it does. No, I think it makes you clear. So we'll kind of roll with that. I want to go back to the IRS situation, because I heard Senator Scott talking about this a little bit earlier today on Fox. The $600 amount is utterly ridiculous, and I can't believe that it was defended by Janet Yellen or anyone else. But now you hear in the reporting that it's $10,000, but the way that Tim Scott was describing it is, wait, that it's really not, because there's still some shenanigans there. Can you explain that at all?
Well,
because I think they're trying to purposefully confuse people.
They are trying to purposefully confuse. And the $10,000 is a sum of the whole, meaning let's say if you had $5,000 coming into one particular account and maybe $5,000 going out. So you get a checking account. You take in, over the course of a year, $5,000, paycheck, whatever it might be, and you spend $5,000. Well, I mean, most Americans are going to do that. That is considered a $10,000 transaction. And I don't care how much it is, Mark. I mean, the IRS is not going to be spying on your bank accounts. It's like as I said, it's not just socialism. It's militaristic communism, as is, as I stated, they tracking where you drive and for how long. I mean, this is, as I said, government intervention of the highest form, and we really can't put up with this cradle to grave government dependency. The reason we've got these supply chain problems, a lot in large measure, is we've got a workforce problem. We are paying people, and this carries it on for 5 to 10 more years, paying people to work for the government, not for themselves, not for their families, not for the businesses that are in our communities. This is as I said, cradle to grave government dependency.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about when you say that, you know that I was very close with the former speaker, Paul Ryan. You know, I've known Paul for 20-something years now. And I remember having conversations like this with Paul Ryan in the early 2000s. The warning about, because this is where this has all been heading with cradle to grave. And unfortunately, now they have the numbers. But I want to talk about something else here, because I think this ties in, even though it's not government dependency. This whole notion from Merrick Garland, Congresswoman, that, you know, the Justice Department should get involved with parents and school boards. Now, I always say this as a caveat. There's been some outrageous things out there, maybe even some laws that were broken. And I would encourage local police, law enforcement to get involved in those, because I'm not going to support parents who are breaking the law, threatening people or assaulting people. Having said that, this is pure government intimidation.
It is. It's absolutely nuts that for the FBI to putting out warnings and white papers that call parents who are concerned about their children and their education, calling them domestic terrorists. This is just because they're trying to take back their schools. One thing about the pandemic is so many parents really saw what their children virtually were learning or were not learning, and they're fighting back. And God bless the parents of America for finally saying, hey, we are going to say whether it's mask mandates, whether it's critical race theory, I don't care what it is. We've got to take this back from the teachers' unions. Tons of great teachers out there. Everyone loves the teacher. But let me tell you what, parents should be in charge of what their children are learning here. And to call them domestic terrorists is just outrageous.
It really is. Congresswoman Ann Wagner, so then what would be, before I let you go here, what would be the prediction here for the next few days? These could be very important days for the Democrats and the president. They think they're going to be able to, or I guess the hope would be, to you know, broker some sort of deal here to move forward. But the numbers have drifted far from that $3.5 trillion, haven't they now?
Yes, they have. They have, but you know, it's still several trillion dollars. Remember that the quote infrastructure package that's come to the house. We have to, it has been put in tandem and attached to whatever the Senate sends over in terms of their reconciliation package. And in that will also be raising of the debt limit. And I'll be darned if I'm going to co-sign a loan to help the Democrats spend an additional, I don't care whether it's $4 to $5 trillion for their socialist takeover of America. So all of this is going to be one great big cabal, whether it's the end of October, whether this goes till the December 3rd cliff, I don't know. But we're here to be a truth squad and to talk about what's going on. And it's not just about this bill. I mean, if you look at what's happening on our border and the illegal migrant numbers, Afghanistan, as I said, the supply chain shortages and inflation, which is a hidden tax on every American. This is not America as we know it, Mark. And we have got to get out there and push back strongly on all of these terrible, terrible Biden-created crises.
Well, just remember, though, if immigrants that have crossed the border illegally and they are flown to New York at 2:30 or 4:30 in the morning, that is not the middle of the night. Okay, those are just early flights. Jen Psaki made that very clear.
Can you believe this?
Yeah.
Can you believe this?
I can't.
I was down at the border in April at McAllen, and in the middle of the afternoon when I flew back out and through DFW, through Dallas-Fort Worth, other than a few of us, the entire plane was filled with illegal migrants, and they were, quote, family units, so a parent or two parents and a ton of kids that all had these oversized manila envelopes stuffed with written outside what their flight connections were, some American words and phrases. I had to show at least three people where 11C was and 9A was. They've never been on a plane in their life. I mean, this has been going on, catch and release into the interior, making every state, including Missouri, a border state. And this has been going on for months. We're at 1.7 million encounters through September of this year. And that doesn't include, Mark, what the Border Patrol calls the gotaways, which are in the probably tens to hundreds of thousands, not to mention the drugs, the terrorists, the gangs, the human trafficking. I mean, all of that nefarious activity is coming across our border in about 1.7 million encounters.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner, I'll let you out of the cloakroom. I appreciate you switching to speaker because that made a big difference. I will tell you that.
Oh,
my listeners appreciate
I'm
that,
sorry.
Too.
Well, it's just really tough when I'm in between votes here, and I want to talk to your audience, but I am got to do my duty to vote, too.
Go do it, and we'll talk soon. Thank you, Ann.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner got a little frustrated at the beginning of that because I couldn't, it sounded...
It was a little muffled like that, right?
Yeah. But it's weird. Yeah. That I've had that issue with Fred before, too, where we touch base early in the morning. And
how about old Fred Bottenheimer
over there,
ladies and gentlemen?
I can't hear him, and it's all like, this. And yeah. Then I say, hey, put it on speaker, and miraculously, you can hear it. All right, we got a lot of stuff going on here this afternoon, including Demetrius Johnson, former Mizzou standout, played in the NFL as well. And I think he was pretty instrumental on convincing East St. Louis receiver Luther Burden to choose Mizzou. Demetrius was there last night. We'll talk with him at 3:45. The FBI is holding a news conference on the search for Brian Laundrie. We'll join that briefly coming up next.
She was pacing back and forth on her front porch. I pulled up sling and grabbed.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
In my daddy's Ford.
All right, well, we're not exactly sure if this is going to take place or when it's going to take place. We were told the FBI was going to have a news conference coming up. There's a briefing on the Brian Laundrie search. I actually see a bunch of, people who look like agents, Dave Klein, moving toward a podium and a microphone. So
yeah,
we
this
may
looks kind of official.
Get to this, in just a moment here, because Let's see. Well, we'll find out. I think this is it. This may have timed out perfectly.
Patience. As you know, the Northport Police Department has worked collaboratively with the FBI throughout this investigation. So Special Agent Michael McPherson is going to make a prepared statement. There's not going to be any questions today, but hopefully it answers some of them. Thank you.
It's a live news conference on the hunt for Brian Laundrie.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael McPherson. I'm the special agent in charge of the FBI Tampa Division. As you're aware, the FBI and the Northport Police Department and our state and local law enforcement partners have been searching the area of the Carlton Reserve for Brian Laundrie, a person of interest in the murder of Gabby Petito. Earlier today, investigators found what appears to be human remains, along with personal items such as a backpack and notebook belonging to Brian Laundrie. These items were found in an area that up until recently had been underwater. Our evidence response team is on scene using all available forensic resources to process the area. It's likely the team will be on scene for several days. I know you have a lot of questions, but we don't have all the answers yet. We are working diligently to get those answers for you. We are grateful for the dedication and professionalism of the Northport Police Department, along with our partners from the state and local agencies. Complex investigations such as this cannot be accomplished by one agency alone, but there are just too many agencies to name them all here today. Portions of the Miakahatchee Creek Environment Park and Carlton Reserve will remain closed to the public until further notice. This is an active and ongoing investigation, so we ask the public to maintain distance from any law enforcement personnel, equipment, vehicles, and other related activity for the safety of the public and to protect the integrity of our work. We have no additional comment related to today's activities. Our FBI Denver office is the lead investigative agency, and all future inquiries should be directed to them. We appreciate the tremendous support from the public and continue to ask for your assistance in bringing this investigation to close. Thank you.
It's Michael McPherson, FBI special agent in charge, and they said they weren't going to take any questions. There's some questions being shouted out. We're not going to have any answers. Essentially, what he said was, ladies and gentlemen, we had to interrupt our hunt for domestic terrorist parents out there to search for this dude who killed his girlfriend. We didn't really find anything out, but it's hard for me to believe that that's not Brian Laundrie. They were focusing on this area from the beginning. They had good reason to go there. The parents told them that. That park, Sue, that you heard was closed down again now for, you know, who knows how long. It was closed down for the past 2 or 3 weeks. They just reopened that park yesterday. And you also
high
heard
water.
Reference
yeah.
that the water has gone down. So now when the water went down, the water level went down, they found something. And they found remains. He did not confirm. Obviously, they probably don't know yet. There's a way whether it's, if he's not recognizable, if the Gators got him or something like that, there's dental records or other ways to confirm that it's him.
Right. It's interesting that they would go ahead and speculate that if they don't know for sure. So
well,
they
exactly.
must be really pretty sure, or they're tired of people searching for him. You know what I mean?
Well,
I
they
know.
Have to be sure, because this is the only area they focused on the entire time. The parents had to know that that's what happened. He left his home with no wallet and with no cell phone. So there wasn't a whole lot of options here for Brian Laundrie. He's got a fake passport and tens of thousands of dollars in cash, and he can live the rest of his life somehow hidden. Or he probably kills himself. And that's seemingly what happened here. Yeah. And, you know, it sucks for the parents because, well, for both
Besides
parents. Let's be honest.
Yes.
You know, this is a tragedy in many ways for the other family as well, given the fact that they did not commit the murder and it was their son. But, you know, Gabby Petito's mom and dad will never have the closure that they probably want in this because of the result.
No.
Not that he would have said anything anyway. I mean, that's the other thing. If the guy gets arrested, you know, lawyers are going to shut him up. He's not going to say anything, typically, so we'll see where this takes us, unfortunately.
And I'm
probably
sure the
no.
details will come out in
right.
following days.
All right, we have a little bit more from DJ Demetrius Johnson on Luther Burden Jr., but I have to get to a few pieces of audio. We have Sue's News in the next hour. Also in the next hour, Chris Wyken, who is the general manager at a restaurant in Milwaukee, is very worried about the supply chain crisis, in particular cod for fish fries. And I'm going to talk a little bit with Amy Marskors tonight on the Dave Chappelle special. I finally watched it last night. We started the show with a little conversation about that. So that and an audio cut of the day sponsored by The Sound Room. Here's a candidate for audio cut of the day. Now, we just talked to Ann Sue about all this stuff that's going on in Washington with the Build Back Together plan and the trillions and trillions of dollars. So this is not even Ducey. There was a reporter, I'm not sure who this is, that went at Jen Psaki this morning. Listen to this answer.
President, you still believe that Build Back Better will not add a dime to the national debt?
Correct, it won't.
Why should Americans believe that?
Because it won't. Go ahead.
What if taxes that he says he wants to, you know, get more taxes in? What if it doesn't happen? What if the economy goes sour? Lots of things can happen. Mm-hmm. What are you're going to tell from up there future generations, not even born yet, that they're not on the hook for this? Is that right?
That's right, and hopefully you'll report accurate information yourself.
Oh, my God. Let's think about what the reporter said there. You know, tax revenues are dependent on people being employed in this country. And if we go into a recession, and I'm pretty sure I'm not an expert, but I've lived through a fair amount of recessions over the course of my life. You have, too. We're going to go into a recession again. And when that happens, the tax revenues are way down.
Yep.
So then what happens? So listen to her tone in this. I just want to play this one because it reminded me.
President, you still believe that Build Back Better will not add a dime to the national debt?
Correct, it won't.
Why should Americans believe that?
Because it won't.
Now, this sort of, it reminds me of this a little bit.
I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
She sounds like she's 12 years old.
But it's also nonsensical.
No, it's nonsensical, and nobody believes it. That's the thing. There's a lot of miscalculations on the part of this administration right now because, and I'll tell you what, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I'm hoping and I'm praying, and I think this presents somewhat a little bit of a problem for Republicans moving forward if they hinge their hopes too much on what's happening in Virginia. But the polling in Virginia right now is tightening up. I mean, it's getting real tight.
Interesting.
About a week and a half from this election, right? And Terry McAuliffe walked out on an interview. He walked out on an interview in the 10-minute mark. Now, he was doing, let me see if I have this here, because I wasn't planning on doing this because we had the news conference. But essentially, he's being interviewed on WILA television. And they asked him if, you know, he would do 20 minutes, and he agreed to do 20 minutes.
So if you watch those entire interviews on our website, we do want to point out that the Terry McAuliffe interview is shorter than our interview with Glenn Youngkin. That was not by our doing. Nick offered both candidates 20 minutes exactly, to be fair, for the interviews. McAuliffe abruptly ended 7 News' interview after just 10 minutes and told Nick that he should have asked better questions and that Nick should have asked questions 7 News viewers care about.
So
that's what he said.
It comes off a little differently when McAuliffe gets up, and you don't know exactly what the run-up is, but they're at the 10-minute mark, so they're only at halfway in.
You want to raise the minimum wage? I want paid sick days. I want family medical leave. Glenn Youngkin is against every one of those.
Fine,
he has a Donald Trump right-wing agenda. He will ban abortion.
Now, you can hear, if you listen, you can hear the handlers trying to wrap it up right now in the background.
Your viewers should be very clear on this. He wants to ban abortions here in Virginia. Yeah. He says election integrity is the number one issue. No, it isn't. Healthcare, COVID, education.
And finally.
Okay. All right, we're over.
Thank you.
Hey, I gave you extra time. Come on, man. You should have asked better questions early on.
You should have asked questions that your viewers care about. And he says, well, we did, because they did. And by the way, 45% in Virginia in a new poll say jobs, top issues. 41% say schools. What did Terry McAuliffe say? He said COVID, right? You know how many people said COVID? 23%.
Oh, 23%.
Those are the fear porn maskers out there, the double maskers. My wife was on a plane yesterday. She said that a guy had removed his mask twice, and now he was wearing two masks. So she was apparently threatening. People are crazy out there. Stop it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I got to give credit to Dave Klein. So I rolled out of here at 6 last night, and I had the what was it, Rivals, that was broadcasting this whole thing live last night for Luther Burden Jr.
Yep.
And lo and behold, we didn't know if he was going to Georgia, Mizzou, maybe somewhere else.
Alabama.
We were hoping, we were hoping. So we have exclusive audio of Coach Drinkwitz reacting to the news last night. Check this out. Dave, you secured this, right?
That's correct.
Okay, check it out here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yes, that was, okay. Well, that sounds suspiciously like when we got Osama bin Laden. You're sure that's Coach Drinkwitz? Maybe Demetrius Johnson could tell. Was that actually Coach Drinkwitz reacting to the news, DJ? How are you this afternoon?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing, man? I'm feeling pretty good. I'm good to be a Tiger today, man.
Well, you told me confidentially in the room on Friday that this was likely going to happen. But look, the kid gets a final visit to Georgia. They're the number one team in the country. They roll out the stretch limos. I was nervous. I was very nervous.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what the difference is. No doubt about it. Georgia's a better team, got a better tradition and history. But the thing that really, to me, made a difference is that NIL, name, image, and likeness. Him going to Georgia, he's just another five-star player at Georgia, which they have a lot of. Him being a five-star player here in Missouri, that's, you know, that's unique and it's something new. So he will be able to capitalize on that name, image, and likeness at a high level, because this kid, I'm telling you, folks, you've never seen this young man play all. He's in for something special. He is a big-time player making big-time plays in big-time games.
Yeah, we've only had, you know, Mizzou's only had a handful of five stars over the years. And I remember the day, I was watching the day that DGB committed to Mizzou, and that was a huge one. Now, that didn't turn out as well as we expected. But when you, even when you look at some of these kids that are five stars, they're like so imposing, DJ, physically, and they seem so advanced. This kid is really good at his position, and there's a lot of opportunities in the future for him.
The kid is about 6'3". I mean, he's going to run you probably about a 4.3, 4.40, and can jump out of the gym. He's a freak. He's a kid. I mean, when you talk about DGB, Darren Green Beckham, he has nothing on this kid. This kid is a good kid. Not first of all, he's a good kid. Great, humble, hardworking, just attitude is off the charts. He is what we needed, man. I'm telling you what. And then he galvanized the community. At the event yesterday, I have never witnessed that kind of event where it was so just so diverse, young, old, black, white. I mean, everybody there. He galvanized the community. Then players who's already committed to the University of Missouri was there.
Yeah, they were there.
Him.
Right, right.
It was off the charts, man. I have never witnessed anything like it. I mean, he is going to really take this program to another level. And Coach Drink, he's rolling the dice. He say, man, our future program is on your back. And this young man is saying, I'm ready to go.
But this also sends a powerful message to kids for next year's recruiting class, or even somebody that might be noodling on Mizzou right now, to say, look, they're serious about getting better in the future.
You're 100% right. I mean, in fact, I had the opportunity to talk to some people now, and they're telling me that players who was not even considering Missouri at one time, since this signing, since this, this announcement has been made, players are now calling with another interest level wanting to be there. And I'm listening and watching the players yesterday, the kids who already committed Loma Luther, and they all said, hey, it's going to be the new Mizzou. You know, it's us. We're about to turn it around, and I love it. That's going to be the theme. We're about to turn it around.
Yeah, well, and we need it because I did go to the game, as I indicated on Friday, went to the game over the weekend, and boy, the defense. I think that's the comment I've seen from a lot of fans. Does Luther Burden Jr. have any friends that play defense?
You know what? He's going to be able to bring other players that are defensive players. And, you know, our defense is struggling this year. However, if you think about it, Kansas City Chiefs don't have a very good defense.
No,
they got a great offense.
Yeah, that's absolutely so that's true.
If we get an offense that we can just slow teams down defensively every three or four series, we're going to be okay. You know what I'm saying? Because with Luther Burden being there and some of the other additions going to be there, hey, folks, Missouri, you better get your season tickets. It is going to be fun to watch. This kid is so freaking special. I've never seen one like him.
Well, you know, I liked what he was being asked last night. They said, well, what about the players that have not committed here yet? Are you on top of that? He goes, oh, yeah, I've already started.
I love
no
that.
No doubt about it. You know, and think about it. who don't want to be a part of building something different?
Sure.
I mean, you're going to leave a legacy saying, hey, man, when we first got here, we was mediocre. Now we are contending for championships and playing in big bowl games. There's no better feeling than that, man, to be on a rebuilding opportunity, and you are the focal point and the catalyst to get the University of Missouri back into the level of respect and being able to compete at a high level.
All right. Well, DJ, thanks for all your work on this, because I know you played a role as well. I'm glad you were right, and I'm happy that Luther Burden Jr. chose Mizzou. M-I-Z, we will talk soon, DJ.
Z-O-U, big fella.
All right, take care. 353, let me play a little of what Luther said, why he chose Mizzou.
You know how big recruits in St. Louis, they are, you know, go to places like the Georgias, the Alabamas. I mean, I just want to start a trend here in St. Louis for, you know, the younger people with talent up under me to start a trend here in St. Louis and stay home and take our talents to Missouri.
So know? When do you start recruiting for Mizzou?
Here it is, Steve.
Right now.
I've been started. I kind of knew my decision a little long ago, but I've been starting now.
He says he basically, did you see, made the decision during the homecoming game, which... Did he see the same game that I watched?
Yeah, no kidding.
But that was the North Texas game. But I'm so glad that he made this decision. And look, things can change. You know, he's not on campus yet. But
he did say last night he's 100% in. But,
yeah,
you know,
I think
again,
he is. I think the family aspects. I think Coach Drink, I mean, this guy is infectious.
Yeah,
and
he said he had a great relationship from the beginning with Coach Drink and
right.
still does.
So you don't have, you got a lot of competition out there. Saban, you know, Kirby Smart, all these guys, they're very good coaches. They've been doing this for a long time, a lot longer than Eli Drinkwitz has been. And they know what they're doing. They know how to roll out the red carpets. So this is a big, big moment. It's not the only moment, but I will say this, Dave. You know, I went last weekend with my little brother, Cameron, and I told him, you know, look, this stadium has been full in the last 15 years. You know, Chase Daniel and everything that Jeremy Maclin and those guys did with Gary Pinkle, and then Gabbert and the excitement that, you know, some of his teams brought. I've seen some rocking games against Oklahoma and some SEC rivals in that place. It's going to get there again, hopefully sooner rather than later. Great news yesterday from Luther Burden Jr.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.